Mark chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 13, which is an explanation of the parable that he gave us earlier. All right, so I'll wait just a little while because new Bibles are hard to turn the pages sometimes. So when everybody stands up, we've all had new Bibles before, haven't we? All right, so when you get there, let's stand together and we'll follow along as I read verse 13. And he said to them, this is Jesus, he's giving them an instruction and a teaching after they ask him, what does this mean? He says, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So apparently this parable is key to unlocking God's wisdom. All right? So if we don't understand this parable, read it again. If you don't understand it then, read it again. I think God wants us to understand. He wants us to understand this parable. How then will you understand all the parables? How many have read parables and scratched your head and go, I don't know what he's talking about? Go back to Mark chapter 4. If you don't understand this parable, I'm not saying this. This is you right there. It's on the scripture, on the board. He said, if you don't understand it, how will you understand all the parables? Then he goes on, verse 14, and he says, the sower sows the word. Now that's a key phrase here. These are the ones by the wayside where the word was sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation and persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. How many of you know how fast immediately is? It's pretty quick, right? I mean, it's just like before you get out the door. Immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns who, when they hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. But, verse 20, these are the ones sown on good ground who hear the word, accept it, and bear much fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to come and to read your word. And Father, I pray that this word would encourage our hearts today. Strengthen us, Lord God, and Father, help us to look beyond where we are right now. Father, we want to grow in you. And Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A couple years ago, I was teaching on this particular passage, and one of the ladies in Odessa brought me the next week a plastic bag of wheat seeds, about this big, huge. For me, I'm not going to plant that many seeds. Excuse me. And you know, I sat that on my desk, and it sat there, and it sat there, and it sat there, and it sat there, and it would still be sitting there if I didn't throw it away. Really, I don't remember what I did with it. But you know what? If we never plant the seed, will never see growth. We'll never see the potential of the seed until we put it in the ground. We'll never see what that seed can produce unless we put it in the ground. And my concern is that the church has a bag of seed sitting on their desk, which would be what? The Word. And it sat there, and it sat there, and it sat there, and never produced a thing because it was never planted in the ground. Our first thought today, the sower sows the Word. And when you sow the Word, you're planting the Word. You guys got a mental picture of what it's like to sow and what they were doing. They were taking the seed, probably with a bag on their side, and they would walk out, grab a handful, and throw seed out like that. Is that the way you guys do your gardens? Not probably we do that, don't do that today. But the point is to grow a crop. And see, it says over in John chapter 15, verse 8, it says that the Father wants us to bear much fruit. We have a picture on a digital frame, and it kind of scrolls through these pictures. And one of them is of our little granddaughter, Piper. And she's just cute anyway. But she's standing there with a fistful, both hands are full of cherry tomatoes. Her hair is all messed up. Her face is all dirty. And she's standing there grinning with this handful of cherry tomatoes. And you know what? She didn't even plant them. She doesn't even like them. But she was oh so excited to harvest them. She loved to harvest and get in the garden with grandma and start pulling these tomatoes. Look, over here's one, over here's one. And she would walk up with these tomatoes. She knew what a ripe tomato looked like. You can't wait until August when you're supposed to be harvesting tomatoes to plant them, especially if you want a salad in August. If you want a salad in August, you plant when? Probably June, May, somewhere a couple months before. Just not too early. It'll get frozen. You got to do it right, right? You can't just, oh, well, I hope it works. But you know, that's kind of the way people do God. That's the way they do the Word. They think, oh, well, I hope it works when they pray. I hope it works. That's not the way we're to approach God. It says that we're approach Him with boldness and confidence. So when I go out to the garden with my wife and she tells me how to plant these things or where we're planting them, then I can plant in confidence. And I'm even figuring out more and more, the more I do this, when that little green thing shoots up, they all look like weeds in the beginning. How many have ever pulled weeds? You know, I've done that and I pulled the wrong thing. That's not what you do. Don't pull that one, pull this one. That's what my mom used to have to teach us how to do. As we're crawling down through the aisles, pulling weeds. And as we were doing this, you have to prepare ahead of time. Don't wait until you want the salad to plant the lettuce. All right? But see, that's the way people do with healing. They wait till they get sick, and then they start finding scriptures in the Bible. And they've had this bag of seed with them, sitting on their desk, nightstand, table, counter, wherever you put your Bible when you go home from church. Hopefully it's not the same place it was last week. You use it and you plant seeds in your life. So I want to challenge you this morning to sow a crop before you need it. Sow your crop before you need the crop, before you need the harvest. But see, sometimes we don't even know how to do that. Well, I want to give you a scripture today that's going to explain how to do this. Philemon. First one to get to Philemon, stand. Philemon chapter 6. First one to get there, stand up. Sword drill. And looking on the screens is cheating, okay? I see Bob cheating. He's looking at the screen. First one to get to Philemon, verse 6. There's only one chapter. You can't stand? All right, John's got it. So everybody else, if you've got Philemon, verse 6, John's going to read it for us. Oh, now he doesn't have it. All right, now let me read this out of the King James or New King James. I think it's on the screen. Say, that the sharing of your faith may be effective. The sharing of your faith be effective. Your faith, we all want it to be effective, right? And the way we do that, it says, by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. How do I get my faith to be effective? I have to open my mouth and acknowledge every good thing that's in me, according to the Word of God, that's in Christ. So if I'm in Christ, I have some good things. You have good things in you. You have good things in you that maybe you have never acknowledged. Or when they're spoken or you read it, you think, oh, that can't be me. And you're afraid to acknowledge it. Well, according to this scripture, our faith will not become effective until we can acknowledge what Christ has done in us. We have to acknowledge that. I have to be able to confess with my mouth that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, I have been made righteous. In Christ Jesus, I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus, I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I have received an eternal redemption by the blood of Jesus. I have been sealed by the Holy Spirit when I'm in Christ. I am adopted into the family of God. I have to confess and acknowledge and speak these things into my life. And I think sometimes we're a little intimidated to do that. I think sometimes we're intimidated because maybe I've never heard anybody do it but the preacher. I've never heard anybody after church say, you know what? I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. I mean, let's, and if we do hear it, we think they're a fanatic. We think, oh, that's just, you know, that's just so-and-so. That's just the way, that's just who they are. You're right, that is who they are. And that's the way we all should be talking. We should all be acknowledging what God has done for us. Because we just read scriptures today when we took communion that says when we don't acknowledge what Jesus has done for us in a correct way, there are many who are sick and weak and God forbid that we would die. But how many people have died in the church because they were afraid to acknowledge what God has done for them? I don't know, but according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, apparently, even then, there were some people dying because they were not willing to acknowledge what God had done for them. I don't know about you, but that makes me stop and think, am I doing it right? And I want to do it right, and so in order to do it right, I need to begin to open my mouth and begin to acknowledge every good thing that he's done for me. It doesn't matter if I'm shy. It doesn't matter if I would just as soon be that little mouse in the corner. It doesn't matter if I feel like I just want to stay home and not see people. I need to confess what God says about me. I need to confess, open my mouth, and start planting a crop of healing before I ever get sick. I need to plant a crop that starts out with, by his stripes, I am healed. I need to plant a crop that continues, that says that the Lord God is my healer. That's his name. I need to plant a crop that says that he heals all of my sicknesses and all of my diseases. I need to plant that crop of healing before I ever get sick. So when the enemy comes at us and attacks us, and he will, in our story, what did it say? Satan comes immediately, and you all confirmed that that's right away. He's going to come and try to get you off of your faith, off of that seed that was planted in you. He's going to try to get us to walk by sight and not by faith. Here's the struggle. Is a lot of times when we begin to confess, things seem like, in the natural, in the five senses, they go sidewards. All right? And what happens is, when Satan comes immediately, he loves to turn things upside down if he can and get us to start thinking the way he thinks in our senses, in our five senses. Well, this doesn't feel right. Maybe I missed God. Maybe I don't see things happening the way I thought they should. So maybe this wasn't God. And we begin to wonder. What we're doing is we're going by our senses. There's a story over in Acts, remember? We know Paul and Silas singing in the prison, right? You know that end. That's the end. Envision that. Paul and Silas singing in the prison, and an earthquake comes and sets them free. But before that, they were looking for a place to go preach. Before the earthquake, they couldn't go anywhere and preach. And finally, Paul had a dream, and this guy was calling him and saying, come over here and preach. Come over here and preach. So when he wakes up, the light goes on. I know where we need to go preach. And so they go. Well, as soon as they get there, they start preaching. They get arrested. They get beaten. They get thrown in jail. And they're in the deepest, darkest hole that they have for prisoners. And my five senses, I don't know about yours, would kind of say, I wonder if I missed it. I don't know if that was the right trip to get on. But they knew that was God. And so they knew that, so they began to just worship God. And they began to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. They begin to sing the songs of deliverance. They begin to sing praises to God. And it says that the prisoners were listening to them. They weren't being led by the flesh. They were led by the Spirit. Paul tells us to be walking by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith. What you believe God's told you to do, not by all the circumstances around you. We need to walk by faith. And God set him free. God even brought the jailer in, got the jailer saved and his household, got their wounds all cleaned up, got them all bandaged, poured oil and water and all that stuff, fed them, just treated them royally because they were willing to walk by faith and not by sight. They were willing to do what God has called them to do. As we sow these seeds in our life, there might be opportunities to think in the natural. Over these next 21 days of prayer and fasting, prayers, faith-filled prayers, believing God is going to do what he said he would do. Now, listen. Y'all have been in church for a while, haven't you? Been a while, okay. So, you know what it's like to be in the church. You know what it's like to pray prayers. You've heard sermons on faith. You've heard sermons on prayer. But I want to challenge you to not stay so comfortable. Not pray comfortable prayers that you know you can prove. I mean, how many have prayed those vague prayers that, you know, oh yeah, somebody's going to get it. I might not know who, but somebody. So we pray these vague, wide open prayers so nobody can say, you didn't pray in faith. I want you to challenge your faith this month. I want you to pray specific prayers. And I don't know what that is because I don't know what you're dealing with. But I want you to pray specific prayers that are going to challenge your faith to grow. And in doing so, you're going to have to get into the Word of God so you can sow seeds. Maybe it's healing. Maybe you've been struggling with something for a long time. Maybe it's healing, and you need to get into the Word of God. Yes, it works when you are sick already. It works when you're already injured. It works when you can do that. But it's a lot quicker when you plant the crop early. And then you begin to reap the harvest. So, begin to, if you're not there yet, if I come up to you and you're praying for healing and I said, what scriptures are you standing on? And you name off three or four scriptures right off the bat. Okay, you've been planting a crop. But if I say, what scriptures are you standing on? And you scratch your head and you go, I don't know, God just wants me healed. You're praying a vague prayer. You're praying a very vague prayer that takes really no faith. And usually, you never get healed. You wait and wait and wait, and probably eventually, you know, yeah, it blows over. But God wants us to grow in our faith. Because after this parable, and he's teaching us about faith, he says in verse 24, he says, and he said to them, take heed what you hear. Okay, what do you hear? You hear words, right? You hear what people say. You hear what you say. Let me just stop here. You are your best cheerleader. You are cheerleader, you are coach, you are everything on this team. And what you hear, what you say is going to carry more weight than what I say. That's why I can tell you, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. I can tell you, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. I can tell you, you've been set free by the blood of Jesus. I can tell you, you've been raised up and seated with Him at the right hand of the Father in heaven. I can tell you, you've been made alive in Him. But that doesn't carry near the weight in your little brain as when you hear yourself say it. Now, I know if I was to spend any amount of time, you guys probably all talk to yourself, don't you? We all do. You might be mumbling. Maybe nobody else can hear, but you are talking to yourself. Yeah. We do that, right? So why would it seem so out of place that we just mumble or quote a scripture under our breath? Why not? By His stripes, I'm healed. He's paid for my ransom. He's delivered me from the kingdom of darkness and brought me into the kingdom of light. Why would that be so odd that we do that? We all talk to ourselves. We all sing to ourselves. We all entertain ourselves. Why not? We need to worship God in faith. So we plant the seed by speaking our words. We want to see that crop a few months later. In my mind, I'm thinking of Piper holding that handful of tomatoes, okay? That's my mind. Okay, so that's a couple months later. You might get your spiritual crop a lot earlier. I pray that you do. But between the time I plant that seed and the time I harvest that crop, there's a lot of opportunity for the enemy to come and put weeds in my garden. There's a lot of opportunity for the enemy to come and bring in the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. Why do I have to wait so long? Why doesn't God do it now when I pray? Why don't I just take care of it and go do this? That wait that you are experiencing is called the fight of faith. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed. You know what confession means, right? You have to speak it. And have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You've been telling everybody about it. I am healed. And they might look at you like you're kind of off your rocker, but you know what? I'm healed. Doesn't mean that the enemy hasn't attacked me and isn't attacking you or me. But in the Spirit, in the Word of God, we are healed. And see, until we can make that shift in our mind to believe what God says, believe His word over our senses, believe that God's word is bigger than our senses. If you keep on reading down through this chapter, chapter 4, at the end of the chapter, Jesus tells His disciples, let's go to the other side of the sea. Let's get in the boat. Let's go. What does Jesus do? He gets in the back of the boat and goes to sleep. How many love sleeping? Oh, that's fun. Naps are a godsend. And so Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat, head on the pillow. He's resting there, and He's already told the disciples, we're going to the other side. Now, they didn't know what they were going to do, but they knew they were going to go to the other side. And these were experienced, some very experienced fishermen. And you had tax collectors, which didn't know the right end of the boat from the other end. They just were not equipped for that. So they get in the boat, and these experienced people start seeing these waves start getting bigger and bigger. They see the storm coming. They've been there before. They know what that means when the water's coming over the boat. That's not a good sign. Okay? That ask Barry. He's a Navy man. When it comes over the side of the boat, that's not good. All right? So they knew this. And so what do you think they were thinking? We're going to die. That's what they began to think. And so do you know, they probably started talking to their friends who didn't know anything about the storm. And they said, we're going to die. He brought us out here, and he's sleeping over there, and we're going to go die. We're out here, the boat's going to sink, and there's no way you can swim in these waves. It's not going to work. We're going to die. In fact, they even went back to Jesus, and they said to Jesus, don't you care that we're going to die? That tells me what they were already thinking. That tells me what they were already talking about in the front of the boat. So then they go to the back of the boat and they tell Jesus, don't you care? We're going to die. Well, Jesus wakes up, stretches his arms, rubs his eyes, gets himself oriented again, goes to the front of the boat. In the midst of all that doubt and worry, he says, peace, be still. And immediately the storm calmed. And he turns to the disciples. And he looks at the disciples and he says, why are you so fearful? Do you kind of get this thought in your mind? He just talked about faith. And now he's talking to them and saying, where's your faith? I just told you how to get it. I just told you. I spoke this word over you. And here you are, fearful that we're going to die. And I told you we're going to the other side. You see how when we walk by our senses, it gets us in trouble, even though we have experience in that. And that's why it's so dangerous in churches when you got an old believer that's telling you a bunch of garbage. Well, everybody gets sick. It's just that time of the year. Everybody gets depressed. See the power in your words as an older believer who should be more experienced, who should have more understanding of the Word of God, who should have a stronger faith, and they begin to start talking fear and doubt. It affects you. And we need to learn to begin to plant that seed and stand on the Word of God, even in the midst of a storm. Even though it doesn't look right naturally. Even though it doesn't look like we're going to make it through. It doesn't look like the boat's going to sink. Have you never been in a storm like this? And I'll bet you, Peter was probably talking about the time when his boat sank. Or they made it back to the dock and the water was almost to the top and their boat was so far down. The water was just flowing in. I mean, they had all kinds of, they were experienced in it. It's not the first time they'd been on the water. Not the first time they'd been in a storm. They knew this. And you know what? You have experiences as believers. And when your experience goes contrary to the Word of God, how can I say shut up politely? You can't? All right, whatever's in your head right now, that's what you need to do. Just zip it or whatever you want to do. Just don't say anything. Don't feed the doubt or the senses of the people around you. Stand on the word. Stand on the word. That's your fight of faith. That, I'm going to believe it or not. Doesn't matter what my senses say. Do you not know that Abraham had to fight the senses for 25 years? When God said, you are going to be the father of many nations, and he didn't have a baby, he and Sarah, until they were 100 years old. Or he was. 25 years. That fight of faith. Don't you know he had that fight going on in his head all the time? But God kept saying, you're going to be the father of many nations. Okay, back to our chapter here. Verse 21, or verse 24, that's where I was at. And he said, take heed what you hear. This is where I was going. When with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. What's he talking about? He's talking about faith, our words. Our words. For whatever or whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. How does that work? With our words. With our words. Now listen. I just think we need to touch this because I think some people, they know enough word. It's like having that bag of seed sitting on their desk. It's there and they know it. But they have no faith. And the way I know that is because they aren't walking in love. The scripture says that faith worketh by love. No love, no faith. Doesn't matter how much you know. Doesn't matter if you got that whole bag sitting there. You've memorized the whole thing. Does not matter until you mix faith with it. Because the author of Hebrews says, they heard the same thing we heard, but it did not profit them not being mixed with faith. If you have no love, if you irritate people all the time, you are not walking in love. I don't care if that's what you always have done and you think, oh, that's just who I am. No, change. Change. Can I say that any better? You are not walking in love. You need to walk in love to see the seed grow. You need to walk in love if you're going to see that harvest. You can quote all the scriptures you want and be angry and disgruntled with people and tick people off all the time if you want. But you're not going to see a harvest. Not God's. We need to learn to walk in love. Love is the key ingredient here. It's kind of like water. You can plant that seed all you want, but if you never get, I have not met a farmer yet that didn't pray for rain. They want rain. Why? Because it causes the seed to germinate. What does love do? It causes the seed to germinate. Faith works by love. So if you're sitting here thinking, well, I've got that figured out. No, you don't. If you're not seeing the results, if you're still weak and sick and dying, that's what Paul said in Corinthians. Maybe we should walk in love as we plant those seeds of what God has done for us. Now, I realize that we're all getting older and death is part of that. But nowhere have I found a seed in here that says I need to die sick. Never found it. I've found a lot of seeds that promote life, promote strength, promote health, but never once have I found a seed in here that says I get to be sick. I get to have cancer. I get to have this or that and die. No, it's not in there. So that's why he says, be careful what you hear. Be careful what you hear, because with the same measure that you use is the same measure you're going to use back. In fact, over in Romans, excuse me, Romans, he says, according to your faith. When you prophesy, prophesy according to your faith. I got to have some faith to prophesy. Don't just assume you have it because you've memorized a scripture. Don't just assume that you've got it all figured out because you quoted some scriptures and yet you're not walking in love. God wants us to walk in love. So, I want to encourage you this month, these 21 days. See, I don't know where you are with your growth process here. Some of you probably are so far beyond me, then you should be teaching me how to do this. But I want to encourage you. Get the word, plant it with your mouth, believe it in your heart, fight the good fight of faith. Don't waver this way or that way just because of your senses. Maybe I don't feel so. How do you feel today is just not a real fair question. You need to learn how to answer that. I don't walk by my feelings. That's what we need to answer. I don't walk by that. I walk by faith. Now, that might shut the conversation down right there. I don't know, but.
Oh, it would.
Oh, it would. Sounds like experience right there. But see, we don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. We don't walk by our senses, how I feel, what I hear. I walk by faith. And so this month, as we enter into this 21 days of prayer and fasting, start planting your crop. If you've been planting, keep planting. How many of you were in sports when you were younger and you had a coach? Okay. All right, if you've never experienced this, my coach used to like to raise their voice. Maybe it's because I just didn't hear real well. I don't know, but he loved to yell. And I think of a couple in particular that were really good at it. But you know what? It got my attention. You are your best coach this month. You are your best coach this month. And so if you find yourself doing things that you shouldn't be doing, thinking ways that you shouldn't be thinking, you might have to coach yourself to victory. I can remember when I was on the wrestling mat. And if you've ever been in a wrestling tournament and the whole gym's full and everybody's yelling, there's two voices that I always heard. One was my coach and the other was my dad in the stands. And they were yelling for all they were worth. And so was the whole crowd. Everybody's yelling in the gym, but you can pick those two voices out. And so what I've learned is I need to get my voice over my head to be louder than the junk that I'm going through, the junk that you're going through. You have to coach yourself to that point. And so you might have to stand in front of the mirror, get your Bible, and begin to read the scriptures. This is what the Word of God says. I am an overcomer. I am victorious. Who shall separate me from the love of God? Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. I am loved by God. I am loved by God as much as God loved Jesus. John 17. I am loved by you. You might have to convince yourself because nobody else is going to be there. You have to convince yourself. You have to talk to yourself. make it known in your little room, wherever you are, who's in control. And it's not the enemy. You and God. You and God. And then when you walk out of there, you walk out in love. Don't walk out and kick the dog. Don't walk out and bark at your kids or fight with your wife or your husband. You need to come out of that time in love and know you're planting seeds that are going to grow. They're going to grow inside of you, and you're going to see a crop, because God's heart, John 15, is that we bear much fruit. So I want to challenge you. Begin to grow that crop. Begin to grow that crop in the quietness of whatever room you choose. You might want to look at yourself. You might not want to look at yourself. I don't know. But wherever you are, you coach yourself to victory. You coach yourself to overcome. You coach yourself to healing, to deliverance, to restoration. You coach yourself to be closer to God. Whatever it takes, don't be afraid or intimidated of what God can do in you. I heard of this quote one time, and I wrote it down. It's still on my laptop on a sticky note. So every time I open it, it's right there. And it says that your celebration is a demonstration of the manifestation of what God wants to do. Your celebration is a demonstration of the manifestation, get all that, of what God wants to do. And if we don't, TD, thank you. TD Jakes said it this way. He said, if you don't say something, the enemy's going to think he's winning. So we better start speaking up and demonstrate it every day. You are victorious. You are an overcomer. And you are more than a conqueror.